Open our eyes and our ears at this particular time, that we might receive your word, that it might cut between the bone and marrow of our life and cause us to be the men and women that you would have us to be. Let this word penetrate us. Let it sanctify us. Let it wash us. Let it change us. Let it encourage us, that we might be the men and women that you want us to be and be more Christ-like and know the purpose in our life and have passion with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Get your Bible. Familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 9th verse. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 9th verse. Anybody ever been on a job interview? Then I know that there's liars in church. You've been on a job. Oh, y'all didn't find that funny, huh? Have you been on a job interview and everybody said yes, and I said, I know there's liars in church? I'm a liar. I'll just bring it on home. Because sometimes when you go on a job interview and you see all the things that are required and desired, sometimes you overlook some of those things and say, yes, I can do that. I'm wonderful at that. How can I do that? Maybe they won't have me do that. It's like algebra. When you get to algebra, you look at it, if you've never seen algebra before, and say, I will never ever use this. Why am I going through algebra? And you find out somewhere along the line, you need to find out what X is. You need to solve that. So I want to talk about sufficient grace. Sufficient grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. The Apostle Paul is saying this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my weakness is made perfect, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I said, Lord, can we go deeper than that? Everybody knows that. The Apostle Paul, the dude, the man. Kind of like the chief apostle of the church. The dude who wrote most of the New Testament is saying that, God, I need your grace. It's got to be sufficient for me. Well, Paul, why do you need sufficient grace? You're the apostle. Everybody's coming to you. What's going on? Paul had some kind of infirmity in his body. Paul was sick. Can you say sick? Sick. Paul was sick. I don't know about you, but this kind of doesn't make sense to me. Just saying it, but it makes sense to me being a human being. Paul was sick, but he was going around leading the church, making churches, appointing pastors, making sure the church was working well. But he was sick. So I said, Floyd, well, let's look at this just a little different. But, you know, apostles are kind of different in that day than they are in this day. They don't have private jets. They don't have chauffeurs. They don't have armor bearers or executive assistants. This particular apostle had a 9-to-5. He made tents. Paul made tents. And then after he made tents, he did this apostle thing. He had two jobs. I was thinking about that. Tent making. That's kind of back-bending, muscle-having work. And then you have to attend to the church after that. So I'm imagining Paul, whatever he had, because the Bible does not say what he had. Maybe had a leaky eye. Maybe had a limp. Maybe one leg was shorter than the other. Maybe he had migraines. Maybe he had asthma. Whatever he had, it was a ferment. It was an infirmity that caused people to see and notice that Paul wasn't well. And Paul noticed himself that he wasn't well. And he would say this amazing thing. Your grace, God, is sufficient for whatever my imperfection is. Your grace is sufficient for whatever my imperfection is. So, if we expand 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 9th verse, and he said to me, my reward, my joy is enough for you, for my enough, God's enough, is made complete, it's accomplished in your infirmity. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast, rejoice in my infirmity, that the strength, the ability, or the anointing of the Son of God may possess and inhabit me. In his affliction, he wanted the Spirit of God to inhabit that and even glorify that as he did what he needed to do. Paul, in his feebleness, in his malady, still wanted to do what God had called him to do. I'd like to talk to you about the challenge of our infirmities and the sufficient grace that propels us to be all that God says we can be. Anybody got an excuse for not being what God has called you to be? A good excuse. I mean one that we could put on a big screen in heaven. And you could say, I wish I had said that. We have no excuse because we have sufficient grace. But if we don't dive in to cover ourselves with that sufficient grace, there's plenty of excuses for us to not be what God wants us to be. Even in the condition that I'm in now, during testimonies, I wanted to tell you about me being scoped. Y'all don't need all that information, but my scoping came out okay. I should be clapping too. They couldn't find anything, but they could see some stuff. And my prostate is in an unusual place that blocks my bladder and it doesn't empty out like it should. And we could do surgery, no. Or we could go ahead and hope that everything shifts, yes. I got an infirmity. But did you know that in that infirmity and my weakness, God is made strong? Did you know that even though he didn't say anything that I wanted him to say, the doctor assured me that I had sufficient grace because that's what I'm relying on. Sufficient grace. So in our life, how often do we dive into this thing that is called sufficient grace? You got sufficient grace. I'm looking at you now, and whatever you're going through, whoever you're going through it with, whatever you have to face today and tomorrow, you have sufficient grace, because in your weakness, God is made strong. Now, that's good now, but I can imagine Paul in the New Testament time dealing with that. No internet, no Uber, no cell phones, just hard work. And after 13 years of pressing in to his relationship with Jesus Christ, he finds himself in the Corinthian church again. 2 Corinthians, the second letter that he wrote to the Corinthian church, one of the many letters that he wrote to the Corinthian church. And Paul had to go to Corinthians. Paul had to go to Albuquerque a whole lot of times to straighten out the church. Albuquerque, about 700,000 people there now. Corinth was about 600,000 people. So I'm going to compare it to Albuquerque. Paul going back and forth, going back and forth, going over the same thing. Corinth, metropolitan area, known for its mountains, its green chili, the Rio Grande, balloons. Yeah. No, Corinth was known for prostitution. How would you like to be called to oversee a church where prostitution was the number one income? How'd you like that calling? Lord, send me anywhere. Send me. And this environment that Paul was in and called to had crept into the church. Paul had to deal with that. But I don't know about you, but Paul was sick. He had an infirmity. And he had to deal with that. Just not his stuff, but everybody's stuff. But he was sick. Anybody ever been sick? Do you really want to deal with other people's stuff when you're sick? I'm looking for the caretakers here. Yeah. Ever thought about that? That sometimes when you are sick, you really don't want to deal with other people's stuff. But this is what Paul was called to do. And he pressed on. And the interesting thing about Paul and Corinthians is that about this time, he began to know that this life was not going to be long. That he was going to die. But he still pressed on. And in his infirmity, he found sufficient grace. Well, what is sufficient grace? To me, somebody said it when we had a small group. Sufficient grace is this. And they didn't say sufficient grace. They just said grace is this. When I figured out that God could catch me, I'm going to let that settle in. When I figured out that God could catch me. I went to a retreat a couple of times in my career where you go out in the wilderness with your team and you do these exercises. And one of the exercises is you get up some height and you fall back and you let your team catch you. I thought that would be the time for my team to get rid of me. And I've done that a couple of times. And it's an interesting feeling that you think, if they don't catch me, I know who it is and I know where they live. Okay, so after I come out my coma, I could go and get them. But you have to fall back And you have to trust them. God catching you is you falling back and him being able to catch you. Anybody in here, have you experienced God catch you? In your lifetime, he caught you. He is able. That's why his grace is sufficient for us. The interview. You all have been on the interview, and you might have looked at the required and desired things. This is back in the 19th century when I worked at the laboratory. Because I looked it up, and they don't call that anymore. What you should do, what you should have. They made it very plain. It's still required and desired. Listen. I had a very interesting experience at the laboratory that took me beyond my technical training in health physics as a RCT. I became a laboratory citizen. And I became a interviewer for executive positions. Y'all not impressed, are you? Neither was I. I was minding my business. And somebody said, you have the ability to interview people. I didn't know what that is. I could listen and write stuff down, but I think it was just a sucker move. And it played on my ego. I could write stuff down and I can make people comfortable and I can fill out the matrix and stuff. And I work for a section that had a high turnover. So we would have mass interviews and stuff. And I was the first line manager and they said, guess what you're going to do tomorrow? And you go out and you interview people. This is different from hiring people. You understand what I'm saying? You can interview them all you want to, but there is a hiring official who says, give me that one, give me that one, give me that one. So I would interview people, and I would do it for my section, and that was cool. They paid me every 2 weeks. I didn't care what I did. It's direct deposit. Y'all understand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's in the bank. It's direct deposit. So my group said, okay, but then my division started saying, okay, you do a good job. Would you do this for us? And I was scratching my head. I'm going to interview people who might be my boss. That might not go well for me in the future. And then I had opportunity to interview people who had executive jobs in the laboratory, directors. And things like that. And I'm wondering all this time, God, what's up? This is me. You know me. Why am I in this place, in this position, in my weakness? You are made strong. I even asked my mentor, I said, you know what? He looked at me and said, he said, Floyd, what's the matter? I had that look on my face. He said, and I told him, I said, Pete, I don't know why I'm here. And he said, because you have the ability to do this. And I said, but look at all these PhDs around me. And he said, they're kind of amazed that you're here too. hold on. Wait a minute, let me finish it, okay? Y'all laugh too soon. They're kind of amazed that you're here. And we're not impressed with the people who are here because they have PhDs. We're impressed at the people who are here who don't have, but they have the ability to do what you're doing. And I took that to heart. I didn't take that to ego because you still had to do the work. But I took that to heart. How many times has God called us to do things not because we are qualified, but because we are available. Paul was available, even in his infirmity, to continue to be an apostle and go to the Corinthian church as many times as he went. And I believe that when Paul wrote this, he was tired. Have you ever been tired? Have you ever been in church and been tired? But Paul had to continue because he had some more books to write and even another time to come back to the Corinthian church. But he had some things that made him available to God in his life, even despite his infirmities. That tells me that sufficient grace is what we need today in our life that will propel us to go and do what God has us to do, even here. That was good for Paul, but what about me today and the sufficient grace that I need to propel me to purpose in my local body and to do what God has called me to do? How many of you all know that Paul was not a perfect man? Anybody read the Bible? Or Google it? If you got your phone, Google it right now. Paul was not a perfect person. In fact, his requirements and his desires probably would make you not hire him as a Christian. Murderer? Christian killer? Pharisee? So in the interview, you tell whoever you're interviewing with all the wonderful things that you are and why you want this job and how you're going to be an asset to the company and what you want to accomplish, and please, please hire me. Then you get the job. Then you find out that you lied to them and they lied to you. Some of y'all ain't never had that job, have you? And then you come to agreement that this is what it is and that you're going to need a little grace to be consistent, diligent, appreciative, flexible in that situation, because somehow, some way, you got that position. I became a supervisor and manager because I said that in 6 months I would be a supervisor or manager. And I learned everything I needed to learn. And I went back to my boss and said that I've learned everything I needed to learn. And of course he said, yes, right now, let's sign the papers. He said, no, you have to wait. You gotta wait. You gotta prove yourself. Required, desired. God, is your grace sufficient? Because I'm weak in that. I don't know what to do. But your grace. Well, now, what is grace? Grace is the favor of God to embolden you to do what you need to do. Grace is not getting what you deserve. That wouldn't be mercy, but grace is getting more than you deserve, and you didn't pay for it. So Paul, in his infirmity and all the things that he had to do, felt that God's grace was sufficient in that particular situation. I don't know what you're facing today, but I need to tell you that God's grace is sufficient for whatever you need. We've been studying about servants and service in the church, deacons and things like that. And isn't it interesting that in the Judeo-Christian experience, what we see in the New Testament, that they had to have leaders and servants and organization in those bodies, and people had to step up to do that. Isn't that interesting? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you to do nothing. You know why? Because if God's grace isn't sufficient, why would you do it? Hello? I played it back on you. I'm sorry. I operated without anesthetic. I'm sorry. I played it back on you. I ran it back on you. So, do you remember in Exodus, this dude called Mo? Y'all remember Mo in Exodus? Y'all don't have the same Bible, do you? Moses. Moses. And he had all these people, millions of people, that he had to judge, Judge Judy. He had to judge Judy, all these folks. And his father-in-law came and said, "Son, I really didn't want you to marry my daughter because you're just stupid. Y'all don't have the same Bible I have. You about to kill yourself because these people are going to kill you. Why don't you set up a system where you got these people who will take care of 5, maybe 10, maybe 100, maybe 1,000 people, according to their ability and stuff. These people. We're going to make them judges." Can you imagine that interview with you? Hello? Yeah, I can come see Moses. Yeah. Okay. "Hey, honey, I'm going to see Moses. I think he's going to review our case." "Yeah, I'll be right back." "Whoa, pray for me." "Hello, my name's Floyd. You called me?" "Yeah, I do have a case with you, but you told me that probably a year from now you would hear it and stuff. I am so glad." "Oh, you're not talking about my case? You want me to be what? A who? A judge? I don't have the qualifications. I don't even have a tunic, the black tunic that the judges wear. What am I going to wear? How many? That's a lot. I got to be fair? I got to treat them like I want you to treat me? Mo, Mr. Mo, who came up with this idea?" And he talked to, "I guess I'm a judge." "Hello, honey. I won't be home. I got 100 reasons why I won't be home." "No, he didn't hear my case. But because he's given me his cases, maybe my case will come up earlier." "Okay, honey." In our experience, in us reading the text, a lot of times God has seen something in us that we have not seen in ourselves. And our excuses are our infirmities. We're not perfect. We got stuff going on. We can't do that. Don't call me that. Please, I'll do something else. But God needs us even in our infirmities because we're not perfect. We are the perfecting church. Can you say perfecting? Perfecting, not perfect. Perfecting. Because God still has to deal with our infirmities. Can you imagine Paul writing this down and saying, I have admitted that I have infirmities. I feel so good. And then getting up and dragging that leg, wiping that eye, taking that breath, because nothing had changed. And the interesting thing about that, and the interesting thing about our relationship with each other, is that that really doesn't go away, but we still manage to serve. We still manage to serve because we realize that God's grace is sufficient for us. In our weakness, He is made strong. He is made strong in our weakness. But we have to notice that. I don't feel like He's made strong in all of my weaknesses. Then why are you telling us that? Because it's true. There are men and women here that are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Right here in this body, there are those who can lead 5, 10, 100, 1,000. Right here in this body. They are not perfect. They all failed to meet the list of desired and required. But God will still use them because they are available. So the interesting thing about being an interviewer is that you get to determine if somebody moves on to get a job. You fill out a matrix and you check everything, and these are the best candidates, and boy, we've done our job and we've spent a week doing this, and then the person who's going to hire somebody decides to hire somebody else. And all you can do is call on the name of Jesus because you want to choke somebody. You've spent all your time, you've spent all your effort, and you want to see something happen. But actually, that's not what you were there for. You were there for just to do what you were called to do. God's grace is sufficient for you to do what you are called to do. Whoever they hire, it doesn't make any difference. You were there to just do that. Wow. How many of us have a do that thing here in this body? That you are here just to do that. And God's grace is sufficient for you. Why do I do what I do? Because God's grace is sufficient for me. I've been through enough stuff that I should say, you know what, I quit. Take my tunic, give it back to Mo. I don't care if you judge anybody. I don't care if you judge my case. I'm done. And I think Paul felt that way sometimes. It's not written. But all the things that he went through, and sitting here in the Corinthian church again, talking to the believers again, y'all can't be going to the synagogue and then heading out to the prostitution place too, okay? We just don't do that anymore. One woman for one. Oh, okay. And one man for one. Oh, okay. Just checking. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ now. We can't be. I know we're in Corinth. I know where I'm at. I know they do that stuff, but we just don't do that stuff. God's grace is sufficient for us. He's perfecting us. We're not perfect. We just can't do that. And how many letters do I, how many emails do I have to send you? How many Facebook posts do I have to put up so you all will get this stuff straight? Can't you see I'm dragging my leg and wiping my eye? I got a headache. And all y'all want to do is the same thing. There's no results in this. God, what am I doing here? What do you say? Your grace is sufficient for me. I can do this. I can get up. I can make some more tents. I can go to the believers and encourage them. I have a job to do. I have a calling. I'm a member of this body. I'm a hand. I'm an eye. I'm a foot. I can do that. I'm the foot that you drag, but I'm still a foot. You need two to stand. I can help you stand. I can do what you want me to do because you place that in me. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said this, you need to pick up your, deny yourself, and follow me. There's no excuse not to follow for us today. In fact, it's better for us today. After you've made your tents, you can serve. After you've done what you've done, you're qualified. Your matrix is filled out, and you're moving on up. You have been chosen by God to be a part of this body. Are you glad today about that? You ought to be glad. Because there are some people somewhere who could really serve better than we can, but they're in chains. They're behind bars. They got a date with the executioner. We got it good. We got it kind of good. So let's serve like we have sufficient grace, like we got enough, like it's covered. Like we can do this thing and do it well. Now, what happens when you serve when you have sufficient grace? Any of y'all born in the 19th century? No. Any of y'all born in the 19th century?
No.
All right, when you get on your phone and you do that little clock and stuff and you go back to your birth date, does it have a 19 in it?
That would be the 20th century.
I asked you, does it have a 19?
Yeah.
I didn't ask you to correct me. Does it have a 19 in it?
Yes.
He's born in the 19th century.
Nope.
Floyd, you cannot win. Why are you trying? Back then when you were born, is that better? Y'all a mess with a mess. Back then when you were born, I forgot what I was going to say. I kept on messing with me. Back then when you were born in the 19th, what was I going to say? Ooh, I feel like Paul. You know, Paul was about, he was in his 50s when he wrote 2 Corinthians. I feel that thing. I looked in the mirror today and I saw my mother and my father. I felt that. I felt it. Okay, listen. Ooh, I go to a sick church. Stop. Grace is sufficient here. To be an interviewer, I had to demonstrate some ability. When you have found God's sufficient grace, what is your demonstrated ability? What do you do when you found sufficient grace? You work in your local church. You find out what God wants you to do, and you do it to the best of your ability. Just like you would do if you got hired on a job. That first 6 months, man, I sweated like a Hebrew slave. Yes, I can say slave, you bet not. I sweated like a Hebrew slave. Yeah, I just devoured all the information that I could so I could go back to that man and say, here, check all these things out. And he said, you had to wait. It ain't fair. It ain't fair. And then I got the job and served 25 years of hard labor. I should have been a Hebrew. Take me back to Egypt. I don't want no freedom. But God's grace through all of that was sufficient. God give us sufficient grace in our life and everything that we are up against and that we do, that we might see your glory, that we might be edified, that we might be made strong, that we might be made into the image of Jesus Christ. Paul suffered a lot of things in his life, and it was only because he had seen you and seen your glory. He had turned his life around. You were Lord of his life. He had found the Messiah, and he wanted to live for you. And through his strength, the church was made strong. He didn't give up. He didn't give in. He just served his way into your presence. God, as we leave this place and we face life and all the things that we need to deal with, cause us to remember our place as a member in this church and how we're needed in this body. Talk to us individually, God, to encourage us that in our infirmities and the things that prevent us from pressing in and pressing on, that you are sufficient and you've given us grace. And let us sit back and watch you work in our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go in this peace.